Hello, I'm Malcolm Cox. Recently, these podcasts have been focusing on 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. We've been looking at Paul, his motives, his methods, and his memories, thinking about the way that he considered ministry, his philosophy of ministry, I suppose one might say, and the fact that the correct motives led to the correct methods, and that led to very good memories, both his for the Thessalonians and them of him. We're in the final section, looking at memories, in the last few verses of the chapter, and particularly focusing here on verses 14 to 16, and the fact that because of the right motives in Paul, and because he used the right methods in pointing them to God, and seeing his mission as from God and not about himself, and using the word of God to be the powerful agent that transformed their lives and not to be concerned about himself, that because of all these things, the faith of the Thessalonians became unmovable. Verses 14 to 16 talk about them suffering. It says, you suffered from your own countrymen who killed the Lord Jesus, the prophets, and drove us out. And it's a very challenging scenario. They have suffered, if we look back in Acts chapter 17. And the point of the suffering Paul brings out is that it developed their faith and showed it to be genuine and helped them to be confident of what they truly believed. And it is true that we don't really know what we believe, or at least how deeply we believe it, until it is tested. Until it is tested in the crucible of opposition, suffering, persecution. It could be suffering brought upon by our own sin. It could be suffering brought upon by circumstances outside our control, like ill health or a redundancy. It can also be because of persecution from family, from friends, from the media, from all kinds of sources. Nonetheless, these things can be useful. They can be useful because they show us how to depend upon God and drive us back to him, and it enriches our faith in that it makes us mature. In this passage, Paul talks about the fact that the wrath of God has come upon them at last, the final sentence of verse 16. And what on earth is that? What kind of wrath is this? We should expect opposition in sharing the gospel with people, but what about this wrath? Well, F.F. Bruce, in his commentary on this passage, talks about the fact that the aorist tense in the Greek is used here. Has come is really came. The wrath of God came upon them. And because the punishment is certain rather than imminent. Wrath has come on them to the end is a literal translation, which may mean that wrath has come on them until the end of time. Luke 21:9 and Luke 21:23 are useful references. Rather than forever, or simply the equally natural fully or finally, in other words, at last, as the translations used in the NIV, the New RSV, and the TEV. Tom Wright's translation is, but the fury has come upon them for good. Is Paul happy about that? Is Paul delighted? I don't think so. He's not happy about such things. Romans 9 shows us his feelings about his fellow Israelites. He's grieving about the reality, not delighting in it. J.B. Phillips translates this, alas, I fear they are completing the full tale of their sins and the wrath of God is over their heads. We are told to persevere through opposition and persecution, and it may be that God will bring about judgment for people who oppose him and his people, but we should never delight that this is the case. We are called to be the people who are unmovable in our faith, no matter what else comes, and to be faithful and not to worry about others, not to worry about their fate, not to worry about the consequences of their persecution of God's people, but instead to be faithful, to keep our eyes on Jesus, which Paul did all through of his challenges, and he's encouraged to see that the Thessalonians did in their challenges. They kept themselves focused on God. You became imitators of God's churches, their faith. Helped them with their the faith of the other churches helped the Thessalonians with their faith, and their faith through persecution gives Paul gladness of heart. Let us gladden God's heart by our faithfulness, no matter what we are going through. If you'd like to know more about our church, you can find us at nwlcc.org. My email is malcolm.cox@iccmissions.org, and my Twitter feed is mccx. Until the next time, I hope you have a wonderful day, and God bless.